Coming this Easter Sunday, sacred music for the Easter season. LutheranPublicRadio.org. Lutheran Public Radio, sacred music for the world. Coming Easter Sunday at LutheranPublicRadio.org.
Stanza of the Easter hymn, Joy to the Heart. It's one of those kind of hymns that when you sing it, my goodness, it almost wrings the joy out of you. And yet, joy is a problem. I'm not a very joyous person. Anybody who knows me personally knows that I'm kind of the even keel. I'm not a sad person. I'm not a mad person. I'm just kind of right there in the middle most of the time. And I can't say that, at least in terms of an emotion, joy is something I often experience, although I will say when I do. It's quite often on Sunday morning, but not so much other times. What is Christian joy? What does St. Paul mean when he says, well, it sounds like he commands, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say, rejoice. What does he mean? Greetings and welcome to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. In the last half hour of the program, we're going to talk about Christian joy. Joining us to do so, Heidi Sias. She is a wife of a Lutheran pastor in Coldstrip, Montana, a writer and editor, a conference and retreat speaker. She has a Master of Arts degree in religion from Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana. Heidi, welcome to Issues Etc.
Hi, thanks for having me.
How did you used to think about Christian joy?
Well, I grew up thinking that joy was more of an obligation that I needed to follow. I mean, I was a Christian. I was supposed to be happy. But, you know, life was tough growing up. My parents divorced when I was a teenager. There was a lot of tension in the house. And, you know, you had to put on a happy face despite all of those things. And the only time I thought that I felt joy was when I went on youth trips and those kinds of things, mountaintop experiences. And I'd feel that joy, but I'd get home and it would all be gone very quickly when I returned back to my normal life, and I didn't understand what joy really was.
Okay, so if joy was an obligation in those days, was it also a burden in those days?
Oh, sure, yeah. It's a burden, and it makes you feel guilty, and even doubting your faith. You know, you should have joy if you're a Christian. So, you know, maybe I don't even have faith if I don't have joy.
Now, those words that I quoted a few minutes ago from St. Paul, Philippians 4:4, a favorite of many, although I have to admit that in my earlier days as a Christian, I found them rather burdensome. I generally ignored them. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. He's emphatic. Does he mean that Christians are not permitted to have other emotions than just kind of giddy happiness all day long?
Well, it does sound like he's giving us a command, but if you look at what he's saying to rejoice in, he's saying rejoice in the Lord. And in faith, we believe that Jesus Christ is our Lord, and he's redeemed us, and that should be the basis of our joy. He's not commanding us to be joyful. He's saying you can be joyful because the Lord, your Savior, has redeemed you.
But that sounds like it means that joy is something other than, or maybe something more than, that mountaintop experience of your childhood or that emotional sense.
Exactly, yeah. I mean, emotions are fine to have. I mean, we can be happy, we can be sad, we can be lonely, all those things we experience in this life. But Christian joy doesn't depend on any of those things. Christian joy is that knowledge basing your faith on God's promises and knowing that he has redeemed you and you're saved, and you know what the end result is going to be. So all of the trials and tribulations in life won't bother you. You can go through those emotions, but you know you're grounded in the faith.
Are you saying that the Christian joy is really a facet of faith itself?
Yes, it's a fact. It's something that we just know and have without that feeling. And that's what I went through when I was younger, was not feeling like I had the right feeling and being burdened and trying to do more all the time to have that feeling. And when it didn't come, I felt like I didn't have faith.
There are several dangers there. One you just mentioned, and that is if the sufficient level of glee isn't reached, then you feel as though you must somehow have a deficient faith.
Right.
The other danger I want you to talk about is perhaps experienced by some of a happier disposition. And that is, well, maybe they can be kind of upbeat and gleeful all the time, but it kind of becomes an addiction to the feeling, doesn't it?
Well, it can become an addiction to the feeling. I think when you have that knowledge of knowing that you have this Savior that died for you and redeemed you, you are joyous. And, you know, most of the time you do feel that joy and you do show that to others. Paul said that we should be ready to account for that joy that's in us. But that doesn't mean, you know, when you have a death in the family that you have to somehow try to always be happy. You have the joy because you know where that person is and you'll see them again in the resurrection. But you certainly still experience emotions of sadness.
Well, now, Heidi, you've just mentioned something that I think is all too common, sad to say. When death does come to Christians who have been convinced, like you once were, that the primary emotion of Christianity should be happiness, and death does come, they have a hard time, I think, maybe through denial or maybe there is a lot of hidden guilt there. They have a hard time mourning as Christians.
Yeah, that can be difficult. Luther reminds us that the end of all joys on earth is disgust. I mean, any joy that we have on earth, whether it be relationships or good things that happen to us or power or whatever, they all come to nothing. Even though Christ may use them when we're here on earth and he blesses us with those things on earth all end up in disgust. The only true joy we have is in Christ.
You quote from 2 Corinthians chapter 4, where the apostle writes and paints a picture that doesn't sound very joyful. He says, "We are afflicted in every way, but not crushed, perplexed, but not driven to despair, persecuted, but not forsaken, struck down, but not destroyed." What is the apostle talking about there?
Well, he goes on to say that we carry in our body not only the death of Jesus, but his life, that may be manifested in us, and that we are raised with him. So no matter what we're going through in life, we're never completely destroyed because we can hold on to that promise that God has made us, that hope that we have in faith in the resurrection of the dead.
Some Christians, like the Apostle Paul, kind of live it out in real time, that long list of things. One of them that you mentioned, Philip Nicolai, tell us his story.
Well, Philip Nicolai was a pastor in the late 1500s. Besides going through all of the different trials that pastors go through trying to support the truth, he went through a very difficult time. In about 5 months or so, he lost 1,300 of his parishioners to the plague. 170 of those were in 1 week. In order to comfort his parishioners, he wrote a book called Mirror of Joy, and this included two hymns, which we're very familiar with, called Wake Awake and O Morning Star. So through all of this sadness, he still is able to write about God's love and mercy and the heavenly food that is provided to us in word and sacrament, which refreshes us in the faith. His presence is with us today, and we can look forward to that heavenly mansion after we die. And to see Philip Nicolai go through something like that and still be able to write hymns like "O Morning Star" and "Wake Awake" is just, you know, a good example for us of how to go through mourning and sadness, because certainly he was going through that with all of the deaths of his parishioners, but still having that joy in Christ.
So is Christian joy part and parcel of the Christian struggle in this life of saint and sinner, old man and new man?
Well, sure. We pray in Psalm 51, we ask God to restore unto us the joy of his salvation. We are constantly going through that struggle where we have, you know, we remember to look to Christ and have that joy, and then we go through times where we look away and we try to control our own lives in this world, and then sin envelops us, and we have to turn back to Christ and repent again.
We're talking with Heidi Sias. She's a wife of a Lutheran pastor in Colstrip, Montana, a writer and editor, a conference and retreat speaker. She has a Master's of Arts degree in religion from Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana. When we come back, 10 more minutes with her and with you. You can join us with questions or comments on Christian joy in the last 10 minutes, 1-877-623-6943. We are coming to you live on this Wednesday afternoon, 877-623-MYIE. Send us an email, talkback@issuesetc.org, or you can also send us a tweet at @IssuesETC. The Issues Etc. Book of the Month for March is a great children's book. It really is about instilling the joy of your salvation in your children on a daily basis through those objective means. It's called My First Hymnal. Call Concordia Publishing House and ask for it, 1-800-325-3040. Or you can browse before you buy My First Hymnal at our website, issuesetc.org. It's on every page of the website. We'll be right back. More on Christian Joy with Heidi Sias after this.
We have some great programs lined up for you during Holy Week, and here's an easy way to invite your fellow parishioners to listen. It's a special church bulletin insert for Issues Etc. Holy Week programming. Just go to the support page at issuesetc.org, download, print, and make copies of the Holy Week bulletin insert. The bulletin insert can be used for the weekend of Palm Sunday, April 1st. issuesetc.org and click support.
What happens when you take solid doctrine and solid curriculum and combine them with ancient scholars and modern technology? You get Wittenberg Academy, the very first completely online classical Lutheran high school. We are unabashedly Lutheran and offer families a rigorous standard of academic excellence. Students can pick and choose classes, or they can utilize our entire curriculum for their high school education. Visit our website, wittenbergacademy.org, to find out more.
Where doctrine is life. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Emmanuel Lutheran Church of Pensacola, Florida. Silly with commercials, serious with God.
Howdy, folks. Old Gus here. When I'm not out fixing up something with country bobs or picking on my banjo with Matt, I saddle up and head on down the trail till I hit the white sandy beaches of Pensacola, Florida. And on Sunday, you can find me at Emmanuel Lutheran Church.
Emmanuel Lutheran Church invites you to divine service every Sunday at 8 and 10:30 a.m. Bible classes for all ages at 9:15.
Stay Lutheran, my friends!
We know that you want to build your family on the right foundation from the very start. The foundation of Jesus Christ. Concordia Publishing House offers more than 8,000 products for churches, schools, and homes. Dedicated customer service and an experienced staff to help you focus on what matters most. Click to connect at cph.org. Concordia Publishing House. Listening, responding, providing for God's people. Concordia Publishing House. cph.org.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. Heidi Sias is our guest. We're talking Christian joy. I'm Todd Wilkin. Heidi, there's something that's coming again and again and again back around in our conversation, and that is, it seems to me the distinction that you're making here about Christian joy is between kind of the uncertainty and ever-changing nature of a subjective joy and the certainty and unchanging nature of an objective joy.
Yes, that's exactly right. In Scripture, we see the objective joy that we have. It's ours as baptized children of God. We don't have to worry about that anymore. We have a lot of other things in life that we have to deal with, but that is solid, and we don't have to worry about that anymore. So that's where that joy comes from.
So when the psalmist, a verse that you quoted, Psalm 51, verse 2, restore, it's common to people who are familiar with the historic Christian worship of Sunday morning, restore to me the joy of your salvation, uphold me with the willing spirit. What is the psalmist, what are we praying for there?
Well, the word for joy there in Greek is actually agaliosin, which isn't just merely joy, but almost a jumping for joy. I mean, the joy that's attached to Christ's salvation is a joy that we can't keep in ourselves. We have to share it with others. Gerhard Aho said that we're asking God for joy in worship. We have salvation already. That is ours. We go to worship and we ask him to give us joy.
But that joy is as objective as that salvation, as objective as the very word of God, isn't it?
Right. And being in the word and being in worship and in the liturgy, we are reminded of that joy. We need that, those constant reminders as sinner and saint, those constant reminders of God's promises. But yes, the joy is there because the salvation is ours.
Let's talk about joy as one of those aspects of the fruit of the Spirit.
Yes, if you think of the fruit of the Spirit, Paul tells us that the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Now, when you think about fruit, if you think about a fruit tree, an apple tree, for instance, it can't decide that it's all of a sudden going to produce oranges. God decides what fruit that tree is going to produce. And so he gives us those fruits. It's not something that we have to produce. He gives us those things in the joy of his salvation and the joy of being in Christ. As we hear in the second petition of the Lord's Prayer, where it talks about God's kingdom, in the same way, joy comes by itself without our prayer. If we grasp onto Christ and his promises.
So in what ways do we get in the way of this true Christian joy?
Well, C.S. Lewis said you can't hope and think about hoping at the same time. And that's where we get into trouble. When we start thinking about joy and how we can be joyful, we start to turn inward and look at ourselves and our life, and we take our eyes off of Christ. We need to keep our eyes on Christ. When we look away from him, we have a problem. We live according to the flesh. If our minds are set on the flesh, then that leads to death. But if we live according to the Spirit and set our minds on the things of the Spirit, then that gives us life and peace, as it says in Romans 8.
Is it as simple as that age-old distinction between the theology of the cross and the theology of glory? The theologian of glory looks for joy and assurance in everything, in the circumstances of his life. The theologian of the cross looks for all that, including joy, in that external, that outside of himself, death of Jesus on the cross for him?
Well, sure. In the theology of the cross, we actually can find joy even in suffering, knowing that God uses that suffering to just draw us closer to him. So, yes, back to that objective joy that we know, and we can endure the trials and tribulations of this life, which everybody goes through. There's nobody in this life that doesn't go through problems, and it's how we look at those problems and how we deal with those problems as we fix our eyes on Christ.
Is there a contradiction, Heidi, between repentance and joy, or can the two go together?
Well, repentance brings us joy because it brings us back to Christ. When we repent, we are given, as my husband and I say, a new moment. The slate is clean. He's given us a new start, and those are unlimited. He never says that's all you get. He keeps giving us those new moments over and over. So repentance wipes the slate clean and gives us that renewed joy again.
You have mentioned something about this already, but you have a great quote from Hermann Zasse that says, "It is worldly joy, the secularized substitute for true joy of the gospel, which threatens to destroy Christ's joy." What does Zasse mean there?
Well, I got that quote from President Harrison, actually, out of his book and from his website, and it's just such a wonderful quote, because when we look at the things of this world, we look into ourselves. What do we see? We see sin and death and evil, and that certainly will not bring us joy. But when we look back to Christ, we see that joy again. So when we concentrate on the worldly joy, it makes Christ invisible, where we don't see him anymore. We only concentrate on worldly joy.
Is it wrong to have, maybe we could say joy, small j, in the things and circumstances of this life?
Oh, no, there's nothing wrong with that. God gives us many blessings, and we are to enjoy those blessings in this life. In obedience to his word, he wants us to be happy with you know, relationships and things that he gives us, you know, but he wants us to use them to further his kingdom, and he gives them to us as blessings to enjoy in this world, knowing that we don't trust in those things because they will not bring us the ultimate joy.
See, that's the what you've said there is kind of always truncated in popular Christianity. God wants you to be happy, period.
yeah, that's not true.
So what's the difference between God, the way you said it, that God does indeed desire that we have joy in this life, but and the kind of cliched God wants you to be happy?
Well, he wants us to have joy in him. He doesn't want us to have joy and happiness just in the things of this world. Certainly there's nothing wrong with being happy about the things in this world, but we don't put our trust in those things. We look to Christ for our joy, and in that we can even have joy during times of suffering, because we know that suffering is drawing us closer to Christ, and that will just bring us more joy.
You know what you're really talking about? You're talking about the first commandment. I mean, Luther's famous for saying that whatever you pin your hope on is your God.
Mm-hmm.
And it sounds like it extends equally in this conversation to joy. If you have joy in these things, then in these things themselves, then there's your God. That's all the more you're going to get out of them.
Right. Yeah, I mean, if you know, and we all do that. We all do that constantly. You know, we have our gods in our health, or we have our gods in our family members, relationships, our gods in our money status. But that's where it goes back to that sinner and saint thing. We need to constantly repent of those things and bring us back to Christ and look to him and not to those things as our trust and to give us joy.
So for the Christian who finds himself either in happy circumstances or the worst circumstances he can imagine, for that same Christian, what is the abiding source of constant joy for that Christian?
Well, Luther says the church has no other joy than the word. He goes on to say that when he's deprived of the word, then his joy is gone. So no matter what situation you're in, you need to look to the word in daily devotions, in the liturgy, in worship, in hearing the preached word from your pastor and hearing your pastor's absolution when you go and confess to him, and in God's sacraments. He gives us our identity in our baptism when he joins us to Christ in water and word. The word is what we always need to look to for our joy.
Heidi Sias is a wife of a Lutheran pastor in Colstrip, Montana. She's a writer and editor, a conference and retreat speaker, and she has a Master's of Arts degree in religion from Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana. Heidi, thank you very much for being our guest.
Thank you for having me very much.
Coming up during Holy Week, we're going to have some great programming for you. That means Issues Etc. keeps going full steam during Holy Week with some of your favorite guests and topics. We're going to be doing some hymn studies on Holy Week themes. We're going to be talking about the events of Holy Week with experts like Dr. Paul Meyer. We'll be delving into the Last Supper according to Luke's Gospel with Dr. Arthur Just. And we'll also talk about Luther, how to think about the Passion of Christ, Pastor Paul McCain will be our guest during Holy Week, and there's more guests and more topics ahead. Now, you can find out all about our talk radio for Holy Week, From Issues, Etc., with our Issues, Etc., Holy Week bulletin insert. It's a way of letting your congregation, your fellow congregants, know about what's coming up on Issues, Etc. You can get it at our website, absolutely free. Issuesetc.org. On the support page, right at the top of the page, you can click on it, download it, print it, and take it to your church secretary. Make sure it gets included in this Sunday's church bulletin, the Issues, Etc. Holy Week bulletin insert. Tomorrow on Issues, Etc., we'll discuss Matthew's account of Jesus' triumphal entry into Jerusalem with Pastor John Helwege and Pastor John Wegner. Then, tomorrow, we'll also get a history lesson on religious liberty from Maggie Carner of LCMS Life Ministries. That's tomorrow on Issues, Etc. You know, I mentioned at the beginning of this little segment with Heidi that I'm kind of the even-keeled emotional person. I don't swing one way or the other, but in those moments where I am aware, I should say, of the joy that I have been given constantly, where it may bubble up to the surface, I guess it's no surprise, shouldn't surprise me at all that those moments come when I am in the presence of Christ and His Word, in the presence of His body and blood at the Lord's Supper, in the presence of His forgiving Word and absolution. It should come as no surprise that that is the source of that joy. I'm Todd Wilkin. Talk with you tomorrow. Thanks for listening to Issues, Etc.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues, Etc. Issues, Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Lutheran Public Radio, P.O. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues, Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.